Imagine you're the general contractor for a massive new skyscraper.
Okay, I'm with you.
And for decades, the only way to get that building off the ground was to hire this massive crew. You have to train them on the physics of load-bearing walls and, have them manually pour every single cubic yard of concrete.
Right, and weld every single steel beam by hand.
Exactly. It's a highly structured, deliberately slow process. But what if you could just stand on that empty lot, describe the exact architectural layout of the skyscraper out loud to a crew of invisible, hyper-fast robots, and they just instantly started assembling the steel?
I mean, it sounds incredibly efficient, but if you, as the general contractor, don't actually understand the physics of wind resistance or like how deep the foundation needs to be
The
poured,
disaster waiting to happen.
yeah, that skyscraper is going to collapse the moment a storm hits, no matter how fast it was built.
And that tension right there is the defining career challenge of 2026. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are looking at a software development landscape that is shifting faster than it has in, well, 2 decades, really.
Easily 2 decades, yeah. The entire fundamental concept of how we build technology is being actively rewritten right now.
It really is. And the source material we're pulling from today, this very comprehensive 2026 career guide, it paints a stark picture of two wildly different paths into the tech industry for you.
Right, it's huge divergence.
On one side, we have the traditional coding boot camps, and on the other side, we have this massive disruptive movement that the industry is calling vibe coding.
Which I have to say is a term that sounds incredibly casual for something that is completely upending how enterprise software is built.
It really does sound like a joke, but it is very real. So, our mission for you today is simple. We're going to cut straight through the industry buzzwords. We want to extract the exact skills, the underlying mechanics, and like the specific tools that employers are actually paying top dollar for right now.
Because that's what actually matters at the end of the day.
Exactly. The goal is to help you figure out which of these paths, or maybe what combination of both, is your ultimate shortcut to being highly paid and genuinely job ready in this specific market.
Okay, let's unpack this. Is sitting at a keyboard, writing code line by line, actually becoming obsolete?
Well, to answer that, we really have to look at the mechanics of what is replacing it. We need to strip away the buzzword and look at what vibe coding actually is at a functional level.
Right.
Because you are right, the industry is definitely moving away from manual typing. Vibe coding relies heavily on advanced AI coding assistance.
So we're talking about models like ChatGPT, GitHub Copilot, Cursor AI, Claude AI, and Windsurf, right?
Exactly. But the paradigm shift here is in the interface itself. So instead of writing syntax, developers are generating, editing, and debugging entire blocks of code through natural language prompts.
Okay, but mechanistically, how does that actually work for a developer day to day? Because I think a lot of people picture just, typing build me an app into a chat window and hitting enter. Right, like a magic wand.
Yeah, which feels a bit like a fantasy.
It is a fantasy. What's fascinating here is that the reality is much more iterative. And that is actually where the term vibe originated. It's about coding by intuition and constant iteration.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you describe the outcome you want in plain descriptive language. So you might prompt the AI with write a secure login page with email and password validation and connect it to a user database.
So you're giving it the parameters.
Right. The AI model executes the heavy lifting of writing the actual implementation, the raw code itself. And the human developer's role immediately shifts from being the typist to being the reviewer.
Oh, wow.
You're testing the output, you're identifying edge cases, and refining the prompt to fix errors.
So it's kind of like being an art director rather than the painter. You're describing the vision, you dictate the parameters, and you tell the AI where to apply its labor.
That's a perfect way to look at it.
But I have a major question here. If the AI is, pouring the concrete and welding the steel, aren't we just skipping the vegetables and going straight for dessert? I mean, doesn't relying on these tools from day one leave a developer with massive fundamental gaps in their knowledge? How does a complete beginner spot a fundamental structural flaw in an app if they've never written the code themselves?
Yeah, that is the exact vulnerability of leaning entirely into vibe coding. If a developer lacks the underlying discipline to actually read and comprehend the architecture the AI just generated, their capability remains dangerously shallow.
Right.
I mean, they can build a flashy prototype in an afternoon, absolutely.
And it looks great on the surface.
Exactly. But when that prototype scales up to 10,000 users and the database queries start bottlenecking, or there is a deep systemic memory leak, the AI might not be able to diagnose it.
because it lacks the broader context.
Right. And if the human can't diagnose it either, the whole system just breaks down.
Which brings us to the traditional coding boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we all know the boot camp model by now. It's intensive, highly structured, these 3 to 9 month absolute grinds.
Oh, yeah, they are intense.
And they are fundamentally designed around the exact opposite philosophy of vibe coding.
Precisely. Boot camps force you to eat the vegetables. They really don't care how fast you can spin up a prototype. They care whether you understand variables, data structures, algorithms, and, you know, how to manually build out full stack architecture.
From scratch.
They provide a heavily mentored, accountable environment where you have to understand the foundational logic before you are even allowed to use the shortcuts.
Okay, but if boot camps offer that much systemic safety and fundamental knowledge, why is vibe coding exploding the way it is? Like, if it carries this huge risk of shallow knowledge, why are we seeing it completely dominate the 2026 landscape?
The answer becomes very clear when we look at the data coming out of India's developer community over the last couple of years.
Okay, let's look at that.
India has basically acted as the ultimate stress test for this new paradigm. And a perfect storm of economic and cultural factors has driven this, like hyper-adoption. Mm. The primary catalyst is just raw startup speed.
Let's drill into that. When we say startup speed, what does that actually look like on the ground, like for a real person?
Imagine a solo freelancer in a tier two city in India, right?
Uh-huh.
A local logistics company asks them to build a real-time tracking dashboard for their delivery fleet.
Okay, pretty standard request.
Under the traditional model, a solo developer might need a month to hand-code the front-end interface, build the back-end server, set up the database connections.
And by that time, they'd probably lose the contract to a larger agency anyway.
Exactly. But with vibe coding, that same solo developer can use an AI assistant to generate the boilerplate code, spin up the user interface, and connect the mapping APIs in a matter of days.
Or even hours.
The competitive edge isn't just significant here, it is existential. Founders and freelancers simply do not have weeks to build a minimum viable product anymore.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's a total democratization of capability. Because traditional boot camps, for all their rigor and fundamental safety, they carry moderate to high tuition fees.
They're not cheap.
No, they're not. If you're that student or freelancer, spending thousands of dollars on a structured program is a massive financial barrier. But the barrier to entry for these AI tools is essentially zero.
Basically zero.
You need a basic internet connection, a cheap laptop, and the free tier of Claude or Cursor, and suddenly you have the equivalent of a senior developer sitting over your shoulder helping you write deployable software.
The financial accessibility is a huge driver. And then you combine that with the massive cultural shift. You have grassroots tech communities, YouTube creators, and industry influencers on LinkedIn who are actively demonstrating how to bypass the traditional gatekeepers of the tech industry.
Right, they're posting tutorials constantly.
Constantly. They are showing people how to build real revenue-generating products without a 4-year computer science degree or an expensive bootcamp certificate.
But it isn't just the indie hackers and the solo founders doing this, right? Because I feel like if this was just a tool for building quick prototypes in a garage, it wouldn't be reshaping the broader career market the way the guide suggests.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the most telling indicator is enterprise adoption. Massive global IT service firms, we're talking companies operating at the scale of TCS, Infosys, and Wipro, they are aggressively integrating AI-assisted development into their delivery models.
Wow, so the biggest players are all in.
They have to be. Global clients are looking at the speed of the startup ecosystem and demanding those exact same rapid delivery cycles for enterprise software. Vibe coding has transitioned from being a clever productivity hack for freelancers into a strict baseline expectation for massive corporate development teams.
So if you are looking at your career trajectory right now, whether you're, you know, trying to break into the industry or you're a mid-level developer trying to stay relevant, We really need to talk about exactly what these companies are buying.
We do.
If enterprises and agile startups are both hungry for this, what specific skills are they paying for? And what do the actual salary bands look like in 2026?
Well, let's break down the distinct skill sets first. The traditional bootcamp graduate is hired for their deep structural understanding. Employers are buying their ability to navigate complex full-stack frameworks like React or Node.js.
The heavy lifters.
Right. They are buying the ability to design a resilient system architecture, manage complex databases, and manually trace a bug through thousands of lines of code.
Whereas the Vibe Coder's toolkit looks radically different, the data in the guide points heavily toward three main pillars. First is prompt engineering.
Crucial.
Knowing exactly how to phrase complex architectural requests so the AI doesn't hallucinate or just produce garbage code. Second is API integration. And for those who might not live in the back end every day, an API is basically the bridge that allows two different software systems to talk to each other.
Right, like plugging a payment gateway into a shopping cart.
Exactly. Vibe coders are exceptionally fast at using AI to stitch these external services together. And the third pillar, which might actually be the most important, is debugging AI output. They have to know how to spot when the AI has confidently generated something that is completely wrong.
Which happens a lot. So the question for anyone listening is, how does the 2026 job market financially value those two distinct profiles?
The numbers are a serious wake-up call. If you're sitting there thinking that being a purist coder who writes everything by hand protects your value, the market is actively disagreeing with you. Let's look at a fresher FISI, someone with 0 to 2 years of experience. A traditional software engineer in India is making roughly 4 to 7 lakhs per annum.
Okay.
A fresher in an AI-assisted role is making 3.5 to 8 lakhs. So the entry point is comparable, though the AI-assisted developer has a slightly higher ceiling right out of the gate because they can produce more volume.
But volume isn't everything. You really have to look at the data for the senior positions because that is where the real story is.
It's exactly. At the senior developer level, so we're talking 7 to 10 years of experience, traditional devs are pulling in 20 to 35 lakhs per annum. But the AI-assisted senior devs are pulling 15 to 38 lakhs. And when you look at the lead or architect level, the traditional manual coder maxes out around 60 plus lakhs, while the AI-assisted leads are consistently hitting 65 plus lakhs.
The ultimate insight hidden in this salary data is that the highest compensation does not go to the purists on either side of the spectrum.
Interesting.
The market does not want the developer who stubbornly writes every single line by hand because, frankly, they're just too slow. But the market also heavily discounts the pure prompt engineer who can generate code, but doesn't understand the underlying architecture well enough to fix it when it breaks.
So who gets the big checks?
The absolute top dollar goes to the hybrid developer.
The hybrid developer. Let's go back to our skyscraper analogy for a second. The market doesn't want the guy mixing concrete by hand, but they also don't want a guy who just yells at the robots and hopes the building doesn't fall down. They're paying a massive premium for the general contractor who has the deep, fundamental knowledge of load-bearing physics, the bootcamp knowledge, but who uses the hyper-fast robot crew, the AI tools, to actually execute the build.
They want the raw speed of AI generation, guaranteed by the reliability of fundamental computer science knowledge. If the AI generates a faulty database schema, the hybrid developer immediately recognizes the vulnerability, steps in, manually rewrites the query, and gets the project back on track. That dual skill set is what commands the 65-plus lakh salaries.
It's like learning to drive. Bootcamps teach you how to drive a manual transmission so you understand the engine. Vibe coding gives you a self-driving sports car. The highest-paid drivers know how to operate the sports car, but they can fix the engine if it stalls.
That is a great way to frame it.
If employers are throwing top dollar at these hybrid developers, it begs the question, if I'm listening to this right now, how do I actually build that specific dual skill set? What is the practical roadmap to becoming a hybrid developer in, say, a 3 to 6 month time frame?
The guide actually outlines a blueprint that is highly actionable, but it requires discipline. Step one is where a lot of AI enthusiasts fail. You absolutely must learn the basics of at least one core programming language. Usually this means JavaScript or Python.
And to be clear, you are learning Python, so you can sit there and manually type out hundreds of lines of boilerplate code every day. You're learning the syntax, so you can be an auditor, not a typist.
Exactly.
If you don't understand basic Python logic, and the AI confidently generates a while loop that accidentally charges a customer's credit card infinitely, you won't spot the error until it has drained their bank account. You have to be able to read the code to catch the hallucinations.
That foundational literacy is non-negotiable. Now, once you can read the code, step two is deliberate practice with prompt engineering. You have to stop treating tools like ChatGPT or Claude AI as simple search engines.
Wait, they aren't Google.
No, they aren't. You need to treat them as collaborative coding partners. This means learning how to write highly specific architectural instructions, providing the AI with the right context, and most importantly, learning how to iteratively refine the code it spits back at you.
Step three is where the actual development workflow changes. You have to upgrade your environment by installing an AI-first editor. We are talking about downloading Cursor AI or integrating GitHub Copilot directly into your existing setup.
The mechanism here is crucial. This step moves the AI out of a separate browser window and injects it directly into the integrated development environment, your IDE, where your code actually lives.
So it sees everything.
Yes. The AI can now see your entire file structure, understand how different components interact, and suggest contextual edits across the entire project simultaneously.
And step four is where you prove you aren't just playing around in a text editor. You have to get your hands dirty with real projects and deploy them to the real world. You build a practical application, maybe a to-do app or a simple back-end API, and you deploy it live to the internet using hosting platforms like Vercel or Netlify.
Which is easier than ever now.
Oh, absolutely. And if you aren't familiar with Vercel or Netlify, they are essentially platforms that take your local code and, with a few clicks, host it live on a global server network. You just need a public portfolio of working projects that anyone can interact with.
Which leads to the final stage, step five, advancing to agentic tools. Once you have mastered the basics of generating and deploying code, you step into environments like Windsurf.
Let's define agentic for a second, because that is a term that gets thrown around a lot, but is rarely explained properly. Mm. How is an agentic tool different from just talking to a standard AI chatbot?
It is a profound difference in capability. With a standard AI chatbot, you have to hold its hand for every single step. You ask for a function, you copy the code, you paste it into your editor, you run it, you copy the error message, you paste the error back into the chat.
It's tedious.
Very tedious. An agentic tool, however, is given a broad goal and actually makes independent decisions to achieve it. You give it a prompt, and the agentic AI can autonomously read your file tree, write the code, run the terminal commands to test it, see the error, rewrite its own code to fix the error, and verify the solution, all without you intervening.
That's wild.
You are moving from managing a task to managing an autonomous agent.
That is incredible.
Yep.
I mean, it also loops us right back to the central fear that so many developers have right now. If an agentic AI can write the code, run the terminal, and fix its own bugs, aren't we just automating away the skill of programming entirely? Are we just making human developers obsolete?
This raises an important question about the history of technology and why that fear, while totally understandable, is historically unfounded. Vibe coding is not about avoiding fundamentals or eliminating the developer. It is about applying those fundamentals at a much higher level of abstraction.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Think about the historical shift when software compilers were first invented.
Right, because early programmers had to write machine code entirely by hand.
Exactly. They were literally punching ones and zeros into cards or writing incredibly dense assembly language that was tied to specific hardware. When compilers came along, tools that allowed people to write in human-readable, higher-level languages like C and then automatically translated that into machine code purists panicked.
I bet they did.
They argued that if you didn't write the machine code by hand, you weren't a real programmer. They thought the compiler was skipping the vegetables.
But the compiler didn't ruin programming. It did the exact opposite. It freed developers from the tedious manual translation of ones and zeros and allowed them to focus on complex logic. It allowed humans to build vastly more powerful software because they weren't bogged down in the minutiae.
AI is simply the new compiler. The AI handles the syntax, the boilerplate, and the repetitive logic implementation. But the underlying architecture decisions, the system design, the rigorous security review, and the alignment with business goals, those remain deeply human skills. The developer of the next decade isn't obsolete. They are just directing a vastly more capable system.
Wow. AI is the new compiler. That completely reframes this entire conversation. It's not a crutch that makes you a worse developer. It is an evolutionary step in how human logic interfaces with machine execution.
And that is exactly why the hybrid developer commands the highest salary. They have the deep logic to design the system, and they use the new compiler to build it at unprecedented speed.
So to bring this all together for you listening, the intense debate between vibe coding and traditional coding bootcamps isn't actually a binary choice. It is a false dichotomy to think you have to choose one camp and ignore the other.
Right, you need pieces of both.
If you need speed, if you need a low financial barrier to entry, and if you learn best by immediate hands-on building, vibe coding tools are your entry point. But if you know you need structure, if you require mentorship to grasp complex concepts, and if you want a guided path to building deep, resilient foundational knowledge, a bootcamp is your anchor. The smartest, most lucrative move for your career in 2026 is actively blending both methodologies. Build the rock-solid structural foundation, but supercharge your execution with AI fluency.
The ultimate resilience of your tech career depends entirely on mastering both the underlying physics of the building and the hyper-fast robots that assemble it.
So what does this all mean for you as you look at your next project or your next career move?
I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder, looking slightly past 2026. As these agentic AI tools get increasingly flawless at handling the how of building software, you know, writing the flawless syntax, hunting down the obscure memory leaks, and managing the deployment pipelines, the primary value of a human developer is going to undergo a massive pivot.
A pivot to what?
Well, if you no longer have to spend 90% of your working hours manually typing out code and fixing missing semicolons, how much more time and mental energy will you have to figure out what actually deserves to be built in the first place?
That is a fascinating paradigm shift. Going back to our empty lot one last time, you aren't just the person hammering the nails anymore. You aren't even just the general contractor managing the robots. When the execution becomes effortless, you finally have the bandwidth to be the architect. You get to step back, look at the entire city, and decide what the neighborhood actually needs. We want to enthusiastically thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the 2026 developer landscape. Keep experimenting with these new tools, keep challenging the old ways of building, and most importantly, keep learning.